The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Adam Fields, Midnight 27 Studios owner and creator of the comic book series Prowl. You are listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 304. I hope all is well with you, and I thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. It's my favorite time of the year, and that is the start of the NHL season. That's right, next week, the league kicks off yet another action-packed season, and I am joined by my hockey analyst, Luke Landry, to discuss all of the stuff that happened during the offseason. We cover the news, the rumors, the predictions. We discuss it all, and it's a great, great episode for you folks that are hockey enthusiasts like we are. I would like to real quickly throw it out there and plug Luke's own podcast, which I'm going to try to do my very best to pronounce it correctly, but I think I got it. Le Troisième Pair, which of course roughly translates to the third defensive pair. It's a podcast that is all in French, and it is Luke and his co-host talking about the news of the week. So check it out if you get the opportunity to do so. And I really do thank Luke for taking some time out of his busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. And so I need to thank one great sponsor of the PVD Cast, and of course, that is World's Greatest Comics. They are located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they've got tons of comics from every single era, the golden, silver, bronze, and modern era. But that's not all they have. They have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, hundreds on top of hundreds of back issues. They got a great staff. They got an awesome pool system. I mean, look, if you need a comic book store and you're in the Columbus, Ohio area, you owe it to yourself to stop on over, say hi to Jeff and all the fine folks at World's Greatest. But if you're somebody that's outside of the Columbus area, you can still check out the store. Check out their website, wgcomics.com, and their Facebook page at wgcomics, and learn a little bit about the store and what they have going on and whatnot. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear me and Luke Landry talk about the upcoming NHL season. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the NHL season starts next week, so you know I had to give a call to my man, Luke Landry, to sit down and talk about the NHL season. So, Luke, how are you doing, man?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You ready to talk some hockey?
Yeah, let's try it. I mean, if we can sum up everything that's happened in the past 2 months, we're good. We're going to be pretty good to go, I think. Yeah.
I think that's going to be a tall task, my friend. There's been a ton of things that have happened. This offseason was very busy because obviously a new team is joining the league this year with the Seattle Kraken. So we had a expansion draft. We've had a lot of trades, a lot of free agent signings. A lot of weird things have gone on outside of the realm of the rink. So we're going to try to do the best we can to cover them. What do you say we start with Seattle, Luke? They've drafted pretty smartly, I think, getting a very solid goaltender in Grubauer and having a pretty stable defensive core. But I think that maybe, and you can agree or disagree with me, I think that maybe the offense is something that's maybe the biggest question mark for the Kraken.
Yeah, they had a couple of players that I really thought they were going to be going for, Tarasenko being one of them. And I was kind of surprised. I mean, they didn't go for at least one star on their team, which I was kind of, you know, you want to try to sell the team to the new market and everything. So that kind of surprised me. But I mean, they have some okay offensive players. I guess it'll be down to the coaching staff by that point.
Yeah, they have Jaden Schwartz, who is projected to be on that top line. I think they went a little more defensive-oriented myself when you look at the forwards, getting Brandon Tanev, getting a Yanni Gourde. You know, those are the type of more shutdown type of forwards. You throw in a Jared McCann who can chip in with 20 goals. But again, and I agree with you, there's not that one standout player that is the offensive threat that you need. I mean, you need them on that first line. So do you think that they're going to have as good of a season as Vegas did a few years ago?
I don't know. They didn't build their team that way. I think one of the biggest indications was the huge bluff that Montreal Canadiens did by leaving Carey Price available for the draft. The guy is, he's from BC, but he's from very close to Seattle. I think his wife's family is around the Washington area as well. So, I mean, it would have been an easy pick and an easy way to satisfy a player. I mean, we're bringing you back to where you grew up and everything. But with the $10 million salary cap that comes along with Carey Price, I thought that the Kraken at that moment when they didn't pick him up, their idea was clear that we're building for maybe 4 or 5 years down the line. We're not necessarily throwing this season away. We're going to try to do our best, but we're planning ahead, which is something that I find Vegas already seems to just trying to just block up the holes where they find them and trying to keep afloat, which I don't know how long that's going to last.
We're going to just go ahead, since we're talking about Vegas. I think that it's coming to an end. I feel letting Marc-Andre Fleury go.
That's another one. It's like, it would have been just like, oh, he got traded. No, he didn't know about it. Learns about it from Twitter, I think, or something like that. Oh, doesn't want to report to Chicago. Finally talks to the people in Chicago. Okay, fine. We're going to go. I'm going to move a family. That in itself was like 2 weeks worth of stories this summer.
He has to have the worst agent in the world. Like, you know, there's been so much miscommunication over the last couple of years with Fleury, you know, because when they brought Robin Leonard in Vegas, he was supposedly on the outs, but yet didn't know. I mean, he's got the worst luck for being traded.
And it's also, I mean, they brought him in and he was pretty much the face of the Vegas Knights. I mean, he's the first guy that they announced on the roster. He was, you know, he's a big part of the whole thing and he was a big part of their success. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sitting over here and I'm looking at this like, yeah, okay, well, I mean, the guy, even at the end of his contract, he doesn't even know he's going to play anymore. I mean, you could at least stay up until the end of his contract and, you know, worst comes to worst, you don't sign him. But I don't know. It's just like you bring him in. All right, cool. Got all these fans. People love you. Okay, now bye. See ya. You know, it's there's a lot of it that doesn't make sense other than maybe trying to make some cap room. But still, I mean, the guy was the face of your franchise. It's really, I don't know if there's anything going on behind the scenes that would explain it, but it's crazy, man. It's just seems like it's all over the place. And the people who should know what's going on don't seem to know what's going on.
Well, sticking around the Las Vegas franchise, Robin Leonard has started having Twitter beef with other people. And I chuckled because I read the story, Luke, and I'm still a little bit baffled as to what the heck he's doing. you know, he's made some accusations about Xanax being, if I remember correctly, Xanax being prescribed to players for whenever they need it or whatnot.
That was the other one, Ambien. Is that it?
Ambien. Yes, Ambien was the other one. Yeah,
that one too. And the one that really struck me is that he named Alain Vigneault in those comments. It wasn't just like, oh, I've seen this going on. I've seen coaches give pills out that weren't prescribed to players. I've seen, you know, a lot of stories that you hear from, you know, now and again. But in this case, he flat out named Alain Vigneault in one of his tweets and saying that if things don't change, he's gonna be giving out more names in the days and the weeks to come. So that's the part that struck me. It's like, usually it's like, okay, if somebody has a beef with something, they'll talk about it, but they won't name names.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. And I'm very curious as to what is Robin Lehner's motivation. I mean, yes, I know listeners are like, well, John, it should be that, you know, that shouldn't be going on. And I understand that. And by all means, yes, you should not have somebody that is not qualified to hand out prescription drugs. I totally agree with that. But I just wonder, like, why Robin Lehner? Like, why is he the one that's going to be the champion for this particular issue?
Yeah, and he's had an odd history with tweets in particular. So, every time I hear something, oh, Robin Lehner wrote this or said that, or there's always like a grain of salt, like, okay, well, was this the actual context? Was he just like talking out of his ass? Because he seems to do that every now and again. Was it just like to spite somebody? Was it, you know, it just doesn't seem clear. And I personally, I've had an issue with this whole social media stuff where you just like put your dirty laundry out there, you name names. And I mean, if there's really an issue and if you really have problems with this and it's going on and you know about it, you always figure there has to be some other way where there might be actual even legal ramifications that come along with this. Whereas if you just leave it out in the open, well, okay, you're getting somebody's name dirty, but is that actually going to help change anything?
Well, and here we have another example of it from this offseason is, you know, the situation with Evander Kane. His ex-wife was, I believe, on Twitter mentioning about his gambling issues, supposed gambling issues, I should say that. His ex-wife claims that he threw games in order to win money. It's caused a giant investigation from the NHL, which I don't think, as of the last thing I read in September, was that they were still investigating. They hadn't found anything. But, you know, here's another, you know, individual. Evander Kane has not been somebody that hasn't caused controversy. I mean, he caused quite a bit of a stir in Winnipeg, you know, all those years ago. For years, there have been suggestions from the Sharks organization that maybe Evander Kane doesn't give you 110% every shift. But here's another outside the rink story, much like, you know, the Vegas one, that is it going to cause a distraction for these teams?
Yeah, and I think right now he's making it really simple for the Sharks because he hasn't been vaccinated or fully vaccinated. So with the new NHL protocol, you're pretty much scratched until you get vaccinated for COVID. So that issue, it made it easy. But, I mean, everything you hear coming out of San Jose is that they don't want him. So, you know, what's he going to be worth now? Are you able to trade him? Because that's not just having a bad attitude or occasionally being a bad teammate. I mean, you have a pretty hefty baggage here that you're going to try to trade to another team. So I don't know, man. He legally or not, he's going to have a hard time playing this season, period.
You know, and the thing is with the San Jose Sharks, I feel like they don't have much going for them. You know, they've lost so much talent over the last several seasons. I don't believe that they've done much to recoup some of that. I mean, yes, Nick Bonino's a great player, but he's not an offensive powerhouse. Thomas Hertl is in the last year before he becomes an unrestricted free agent. They go out and try to address the goaltending issues by getting Aiden Hill, which, you know, Aiden Hill's a decent goaltender, but, you know, when you don't have a very solid team in front of you, that's going to make for a nightmare of a season for a young goaltender.
Yeah, and they have to try to clear up some space. I mean, Carlson and Brent Burns are taking up a lot of salary cap. And Carlson, since he's been there, he hasn't been performing that well. And I mean, Brent Burns is still doing okay. He's just not a defensive powerhouse. He's really an offensive guy, and he has been on you know, on the other side of the hill lately. So they're going to have to find a way to try to clear up some of that salary issue on the blue line, get some good young players in there to try to boost it up a bit, and then try to focus on the offense.
But they
lost a lot of good players, and they haven't been able to replace them at all. So
exactly. Well, since we're talking about teams that maybe have improved or haven't improved here, in the case of the Sharks, they haven't improved. Let's go to the other side. Luke, who you think during the offseason has improved the most?
Boy, that's it. One of the teams that I think that probably, I mean, we'll see, because they made a really good run last season, are the Chicago Blackhawks. They got Seth Jones, and, you know, they're hoping to have a really solid in the Marc-André Fleury. So, I think they could cause a pretty big surprise. Otherwise, I feel like a lot of teams just like traded a couple players here and there and didn't do all that much. My cards are a lot on the Blackhawks and even the New York Rangers. They got a bunch of young guys over there. They could be quite surprising.
Yeah, and they have Gerard Gallant now, who they picked up Ryan Reeves. They've done some moves to kind of make a little more of a balance, I guess you would say, on the Rangers. Because I think that, you know, as we saw in the at the end of last season, you know, with the unfortunate Tom Wilson incident that happened with Panarin, yeah. You know, that maybe getting Reeves will help toughen them up a little bit, so they won't be as vulnerable, or their star players won't be as vulnerable. I mean, the team that I think that has made the biggest improvement, and I hate to give any credit to the Philadelphia Flyers, but Luke, I mean, the Flyers, I hate, this hurts me to say this, but man, who, going out and get Keith Yandel, Ristolainen, Ellis from Nashville, Cam Atkinson, Martin Jones as a backup to Carter Hart. Ah, man, they've shaken things up, and I think that they might be a really strong team in the East after all these additions, if you will.
Yeah, we'll see. And they have this, their issue is their forward lines. They're getting older and older, and kind of the same way that the Sharks have been able to replace the players that have left. They, for some reason, the Flyers have a hard time trying to get some new blood in there. What's his name there? Their first round pick from a couple of years ago hasn't been performing up to the standard that they thought he'd be performing. So,
and is that Gucci. Nolan Patrick?
Yes, that's it.
Yes, and in fact, he's gone. He went the other way. He went to Nashville in exchange for Ryan Ellis, and I can't remember who else. So,
so many things this summer. I couldn't keep up. Yeah, he was the guy in the trade for Ryan Ellis. Yeah. Everything's everywhere. It's just nuts.
And they pulled the plug on Shane Gostisbehere. They got rid of, you know, he got shipped out to Arizona. Robert Haig, you know, went as part of the package to Buffalo in exchange for Ristolainen. I mean, it's bold. If they stay healthy, I think they're going to be a team to beat in the East, you know, all things considered. And I hate to say that again. Ugh, it feels so weird. To say that.
Oh yeah, it's true. You're a Pittsburgh guy, so obviously
I am. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. It's. I also think Detroit made a lot of good moves, and I think, you know, adding in a new goaltender, getting Nick Leddy, Priya Suter, who from Chicago, who's a pretty talented young player. I think that the Red Wings could be turning things around a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, I think they got one of the best steals. Well, they could eventually be one of the best steals with the goaltender. What's his name? Nedeljkovic.
Yes, Nedeljkovic. Yes.
Which for whatever reason, the Carolina Hurricanes did not want to sign, and the kid's giving you pretty much every indication that, you know, you could have a pretty solid number one with this guy. So yeah. I mean, once he was out there, for most teams, especially a team like Detroit that's just starting to rebuild, I mean, it's a no-brainer to go get a guy like that. I still don't get why the Hurricanes did not sign him. It's hard to get a decent goaltender, a promising goaltender nowadays, and you have one. But, and you know, for a couple of bucks, you didn't want to sign him again. I don't know. And you know, props to to the Red Wings for getting him, but geez, what is that? I mean, if you want to find a team that has made the most questionable decisions this summer other than the Buffalo Sabres, I'm looking at the Carolina Hurricanes. You know, it's...
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be something going on in Carolina, and we'll talk about Buffalo here in a minute because it's on my topics to address. Yeah, I don't know. The Hurricanes, they're in a weird spot. I don't know what the thinking is with that franchise, you know. But yeah, you would think that this great goaltender that, you know, gave them a real good shot to win pretty much every night, you'd think you'd want to sign him and not just take Jonathan Bernier as a replacement.
No, exactly. I mean, and I've seen Bernier play enough where I think that he'd be a solid number two. I don't think he's a number one guy because most of the time when there's too much pressure, he'll just buckle down. I mean, again, you have a promising goaltender. You had one of the best defensemen in the league with Dougie Hamilton, and obviously he's going to cost you money. He's one of the top in the league, and you don't want to pay that guy, but you're willing to send out an offer sheet to Jesperi Kotkaniemi, you know, just to have revenge on the Montreal Canadiens for offer sheeting Sebastian Aho a couple of years ago, offering this guy who, I mean, he's still a promising player, but he's not worth $6.1 million.
Right.
I mean, I've watched him play enough that, you know what you're going to get so far from the kid, but still, it's just like, you're spending all this money on this kid that you still don't know, who's had problems with consistency, but you won't sign one of the better goaltenders out there right now. You know, a Calder Trophy. He was one of the runners up for the Calder Trophy, which you hardly see a goaltender do. Mm-hmm. And you have one of the best defensemen in the league on your team, and you don't want to cough up the money for that guy either. So I mean, I'm not like mad that we lost Kotkaniemi and the whole thing. I mean, it's business and fine. And personally, when you have young talent, just like fucking sign them as fast as you can and don't just like let things linger on. I mean, every team can offer sheet any player, any RFA. So it's just like stop leaving him to be until the beginning of training camp or whatever. But it just doesn't seem logical to me to go and get that guy. You already have a very strong center line, so there's no reason getting another center. And again, I mean, you lose one of the most promising goaltenders out there and one of the top defensemen for what? I thought about it so much that I still don't have an answer for it. You're looking at it and it's like, I don't get this. I mean, other than pissing off your fans, I don't understand where this whole reasoning comes from.
Well, let's talk about Montreal for a moment, Luke, because not only Kotkaniemi went to another team, but so did Philip Deneau going out to the West Coast in L.A. Where do you think the Canadiens are going to be this season, losing those two players?
For Kotkaniemi, I mean, like I said, the issue was consistency. And, I mean, again, he's very young. There's a lot of promise there, but he did get benched a couple of times during the playoffs. So obviously he's not necessarily your go-to guy. Again, there was a lot of talk in Montreal because, yeah, okay, he did get sent to the press box, but Eric Staal probably should have went there before. So Eric Staal got a pass because of his experience. But, I mean, you know, promising guy, but still not delivering what we were told that he could deliver. As for Philip Deneau, I mean, he wants to be able to perform better offensively, which he wouldn't be getting as much of a chance in Montreal. Then again, I mean, you can always give the guy a couple of power play minutes here and there. I think that could have been something that he could have done. But he sees himself a lot more as an offensive player, which is really not what he was doing in Montreal. So that's one of the big reasons. But, you know, like a day after Kotkaniemi was officially signed by the Hurricanes, Montreal announced a trade where they were getting Christian Dvorak. So, you know, basically right now is trying to figure out who's going to center that third or maybe fourth line. That's like the question mark they have right now, which isn't that bad because you still have three solid center line guys in there.
And they've added in with a few other supporting, you know, players like Mike Hoffman, for an example, you know, that can come in and, you know, play that wing and maybe chip in and give you 10 goals or 11 goals. So, and the defensive core is pretty much intact, correct?
Yeah, other than Shea Weber. They didn't re-sign Gustafsson and John Merrill, which we figured it wouldn't happen anyways. So there's a little room there maybe to get a kid in there. But, yeah, I mean, other than the fact that Shea Weber probably won't play all year due to all the injuries that he's been, you know, just playing with for I don't know how many years. It's like year after year, season after season. Otherwise, yeah, for once, their defensive core hasn't changed. That's been an issue. I remember for so many years, like, yeah, we're having an issue on the left side. Okay, now we got that covered. Okay, now we have issues on the right side. Like, how can it not be an issue when now it is? And so, yeah, for once. And, yeah, I mean, not that he's going to replace everything that Shea Weber can do, but they did go out and get, David's Savard. So that's a very nice grab there.
Yes, indeed.
And they were able to keep both Carey Price and Jake Allen, which most people thought wasn't going to happen, that Jake Allen was pretty much already sent over to Seattle. So they were able to get to keep their two goaltenders. So I mean, honestly, this year I think I'm not saying they're going to go back to the finals. Because I was surprised as everybody else that they made it to the finals. But, you know, I think it's going to come down to fatigue and injury. If they can try to keep away from those two things as much as possible, I think they can make it and have a decent run in the playoffs. Otherwise, it's going to be hard.
Well, let's talk about the Buffalo Sabres, because we mentioned them a few moments ago. I kind of scoffed because it just seems that the poor Sabres can't get anything together. I mean, more drama and more headaches surrounding Jack Eichel, now claiming that he's got a neck injury, would like to have an experimental procedure done. Buffalo is not all on board with that. What's your take on the whole mess that the Buffalo Sabres have become?
Pass. again, you look at it's kind of like the summer that Carolina had. You look at it and you kind of go like, there has to be somebody in there that has an idea of how to make a plan. You know, might not be a good plan, but right now it just seems like, I don't know. Okay, we got a high draft pick. Then you pick a guy that, you know, it's an obvious pick, but is he a fit in your team? Yes or no? And I mean, you want to trade Eichel because obviously he doesn't want to play there anymore. But at the same time, you're asking for a lot, which, you know, part of you says you should ask for quite a bit because he's one of the NHL superstars. So, yeah, okay. But at the same time, it's like this, his injury, I mean, it's out there. Everybody knows about it. So you're trading damaged assets. You know, so the team's going to pick him up and they're going to say, okay, have the surgery. So we're not going to use you for the next 6 months or, I mean, again, it's like if you want to trade him, okay, but everybody knows he's injured. You might want to like lower your price for the trade. You said a mess. I'd say a lot worse than this, but it's just, you look at it and every time it's like, you did what? And I mean, how many times can a team just like liquidate their decent players to try to get draft picks? I mean, how many times can you do that? I think over the last 10 years, the Buffalo Sabres must have done it like 20 times. I don't get it. I don't get it. You got to have a plan somewhere, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's puzzling because, okay, you knew a couple seasons ago Eichel was not happy. So you would think that you would go out and try to make him happy by surrounding him with more offensive weapons than what you were. Yes, Sam Reinhart is a decent player, but he's not going to be that top line guy that, you know, that you could put next to Eichel. Mittelstadt the same way. Like, they're drafting solid young players, but they're not at the level of Jack Eichel. And yet they still just sit around on their thumbs and don't do anything. And as you said, then comes the rumors. Maybe you should trade Eichel. Well, you should ask for a lot, but you also need to be somewhat, I guess, realistic that, you know, you got to eventually cut, right? You either got to, you know.
Now you go big or go home. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. With Eichel, you got to make a decision. Either you're going to stick with him or you're going to get rid of him. And I feel like the Buffalo Sabres have been very wishy-washy on that whole subject. And now, and I don't even want to make the inclination or the insinuation that maybe the neck injury is not as severe as what it's being made out to, because I don't want to say that that would ever happen, but I'm not going to lie, Luke, that thought went through my mind for a few seconds, like, how bad is this neck injury, or is this a way to kind of get out of Buffalo?
Use it as an excuse or a bit of a trade bait.
Right. I mean,
you're saying, like, you know, keep him or trade him at this point. And like you said, you know, you have a couple of decent players on that team, but nobody that can play up to the level of, or at least being able to follow behind Eichel. So with everything that's going on, it's like, how the hell can you get players to be willing to come and play for your team?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, exactly. trying to get a guy off the market that can and could help Eichel, he's never going to want to sign there.
No. They talk about changing the culture, and I know that's so cliche, but it's absolutely true with the Sabres. Like, no one's going to want to go there to play because, A, you know you're not packing that arena. B, you're not going to be winning. I don't know what else, like, you could – what other carrot you could dangle in front of a player to want to go there.
Yeah. I mean, we see it a lot in Canada because of the taxes. So a lot of players are going to prefer going, and it's not even the thing about, you know, oh, well, it's a hockey market and everything like that. I mean, if you're losing like 40% of your salary because of taxes, where in some other state in the U.S., you're not going to be losing as much, well, eventually you're going to be more inclined to going for that team than going up north. So, I mean, and that's just like a money incentive. So if you look at Buffalo, you kind of go like, yeah, okay, even if they offer me a lot of money, fine. But, I mean, do I really want to go there? Do I really want to play in that mess? I mean, they've tried a lot of things that were iffy and they don't work. And I mean, and with this whole Eichel thing, you start questioning. It's like, okay, well, is it just the guy or is it the administration? You know, is it the hockey people behind it? Or is it just this kid that has a bad attitude? Or is it... So, and when you start questioning that, I mean, a lot of players are going to say, you know what? I don't want to know the answer. I'm going to go play somewhere else. Even if they offer me a little less money or if I lose a bit more money because of taxes, I'm just not going to go play there. Cause, you know, I don't want all those headaches.
I'm going to interrupt all this hockey talk for just one moment to remind you about World's Greatest Comics. They are the one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, posters. Basically, they got you covered for whatever you need for your comic book fandom. So go on over to the website, wgcomics.com, or find them on Facebook. Just search for @WGComics and check out the store. And if you're in the Central Ohio area, just get in the car and drive on over. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And please let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, on the PVDcast. Well, let's switch gears. You know, it seems like we ragged a little bit on Jack Eichel there. Let's talk maybe about a player, Luke, that you think is going to have a good season, a breakout season, if you will. Maybe somebody that hasn't lit the lamp, so to speak, or made the saves in previous seasons that might, you know, pop out this season and just have one awesome year. Do you have any on your radar?
I'm going to go with Montreal Canadiens. I'm going to go with Cole Caulfield. Okay. He showed some good stuff in the playoffs. And honestly, I mean, if he really gets going, I think this kid could eventually be like a 35-40 goal scorer easily. He's got the shot. He's got the eyes for it. And he's gonna have a lot more room, a lot more responsibility this year. I think that's one of those sort of like hidden MVP players that you might find there.
You know what? Before I talk about my breakout player, one thing I kind of overlooked when you were talking about Montreal is that Jonathan Drouin is coming back. How do you think that's going to impact the team?
Well, that's one of the things that I was telling a lot of people during the playoff run, because they went like, oh, sure, they beat the Maple Leafs and they lost to Tavares. Okay, yeah, but they still have Marner, Nylander, and Matthews and so on. And then they play Vegas, and then Vegas loses their top line centerman. And then they – well, yeah, but, I mean, have you figured that this team has been playing for quite a while without their number one playmaker? So if you have a healthy Jonathan Drouin, I mean, he's going to help your team. He has to. So I'm just hoping that, you know, he's really worked out the issues that he had. A lot of them had to do apparently with the anxiety and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's behind him. So, I mean, obviously, I mean, that guy, he's sort of stuck in the shadow of the fact that he was drafted third overall. And I think, you know, that's one thing that's sort of been lingering behind him. But I mean, still, I mean, he's a great playmaker. He made a sick pass on a power play a couple of games ago. One of those cross crease passes, tape to tape. I mean, just like one time pass straight on the tape of Dvorak in front of the net. So, I mean, if we're getting a bit more of that this year, I mean, yeah, bring it on.
Okay, I'm going to go back to my breakout player. And I know some of my friends will probably give me grief because I really do like this player, but I really feel that JT Miller in Vancouver is going to have a breakout year. And the reason why I say that is that I feel like if he is playing on a line with Connor Garland, I think he's going to have a great year. I think that Vancouver got Garland from Arizona in the summer. I think that from what I've read, Garland has been one of those players that has a lot of talent, that has a lot of potential, but has been stuck on a subpar team for numerous years. And I think if he gets into a different setting, I think Garland's going to be lighting it up, and I think that's going to open up JT Miller playing on one of his wings to knock in quite a few goals. And you know, so I think the Canucks have the possibility there of having some decent offense this year. So I'm going with JT Miller.
Yeah, I hope that would be a win-win for him, and I hope it does help their offense, because for some reason last year that just wasn't clicking, even pre-COVID, that for some reason, I mean, and you have some good young players on that team.
Yes, so, even though they lost Holtby to Dallas, they still have a pretty good goaltender in Thatcher Demko.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I mean, I think their biggest question mark is on the defensive line. You know, just like having a couple of good solid defensive defensemen is probably what they're lacking.
Yeah,
but even at that, last year, I mean, they really had trouble scoring goals. So if Garland and Miller really do get going, I mean, that could make for a very dangerous team out there.
Is there any team that you think is on the hot seat, Luke? Like they have to have a good season, or there's going to be some serious repercussions?
Yeah, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And you take joy in stating that fact, don't you?
I do. Yeah. I think we talked about it maybe on the last podcast. I've started a podcast, it was in March of last year, with a buddy of mine. And so we kept going during the playoffs. And for the fun of it, I started, because I have a buddy who lives in Toronto, and he's a Flyers fan. But yeah, I kept on asking. It's like, oh, so everybody's hyped for the parade, you know, because they won two games in a row. And then I figured, you know what? I'm going to start following the Toronto media just to see, because a lot of the rumors you hear in Montreal is like, oh, players don't want to play in Montreal, because not just because it's a hockey market, but because the media is hard on them. I don't think there's a harder media on the player than the Toronto media. It was, and even after the elimination, oh my God. Oh my God! I think they couldn't have kicked Marner out of there faster. Matthews was being it was crazy. It was just crazy, and it kept going for weeks and weeks and weeks. And by the time the Habs were in the Cup Finals, they were still going on like, "Who the fuck did we get rid of on this team?" So they've had expectations for a couple of years now. But I think this year, if they don't at least win one, if not two playoff rounds, they're going to dismantle that team. I can't see them going forward after that if they choke again in the playoffs.
Well, and I'm going to repeat one that I think I've said as well on the last time we talked, that I think that the Columbus Blue Jackets are one of those teams in the hot seat as well. Losing, of course, Nick Foligno at the trade deadline. Also, you know, swapping out Cam Atkinson for Jacob Voracek. Losing Seth Jones. I think that this team is, especially because you have to kind of understand the city of Columbus, like, college football is God here, you know? And so even though we have a professional NHL team, even though we have, you know, world champion MLS team, they're still taking a back seat. And I feel that if the CBJ does not do something good this season and have a decent season, I feel like there's going to be some severe repercussions in terms of dismantling the team. Or, I mean, I don't know their finances, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there was rumors of them leaving just because of the way in which things are. Well, and that's just that's my gut reaction. I have nothing to prove that. So I don't want anybody to say, well, you know, I don't have any proof that that's ever been discussed, but I could see, if you're going to pick a franchise to leave their city, I could see that Columbus would be up there just because they don't get the attention. They don't get the support, I feel, at times from the city. And, you know, given their lackluster play over the last couple of seasons, right, that's a perfect recipe for an owner to go, we're leaving. You know, again, I just would like to repeat, I'm not saying that I have any proof of that or I have any facts to back that up. That's just my opinion, my knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you take a look at the Atlanta Thrashers, sorry. I mean, but to me, that was kind of it. I mean, everybody's looking over in Arizona. Everybody's looking over in Miami. You know, everybody's looking in New Jersey or in Long Island, because those are a lot of the teams that you hear are losing money or having a hard time. And then all of a sudden, the first team to move are the Atlanta Thrashers, which, okay, they didn't have a good run. But, I mean, you never heard that they were in such a bad spot that, you know, the NHL had to take care of the team like it's been the case, like it was the case a couple of years ago with the Coyotes. So, I mean, there really could be some truth to that.
Yeah, I mean, just exactly what you said, looking at the history of other franchises, you know, I mean, Hartford's a fine example too. You know, Hartford wanted a new arena. They couldn't get people to get behind it. Well, they did, but then the owner wanted, oh, you need to cover our losses for the next 3 years while we build this arena. What are you talking about, dude? You know, we agreed to give you X amount of dollars. We can't add on umpteen million more. And I just think you look at all the things that have happened in the NHL with teams moving, and I think it's a recipe. You know, you have, you know, not a lot of interest. You have, you know, not a winning franchise. There's some other things that can be thrown in that mix, and you have that perfect scenario where, you know, maybe a team might go, hey, I don't know where you would go, Hamilton or, you know, Quebec City or where, I don't know, but just throwing it out there that, you know, if you feel like I have any little bit of truth to that, listeners, and you're in the Columbus area, go support the Jackets. I'm not, you know, please do.
Yeah, you're talking about that. I think we talked about it on one of the podcasts where we were wondering what was going to happen, because at a certain point it was obvious that Tortorella was going to be on his way out.
Right.
But we were talking about what was going to happen in the front office, and nothing really happened. They even signed a long-term contract with the general manager. So, you know, to what point are the owners really paying attention to this? Because, I mean, this is the same guy who lost a number one goalie, who lost like two or three very good forwards, just lost Seth Jones. I mean, he doesn't exactly have a stellar track record, yet you sign him to an extra, like, I think it was like 3 years, 3 or 4 years. So, yeah, I mean, eventually you have to give the people what they want to pay, what they'll be paying for.
And you know what? You did sign Patrick Laine, which I think was a step in the right direction. If he can get on track like he has in the past, I mean, he'll be lighting the lamp like you wouldn't believe. But when you have, you know, some question marks on your defense, I think the defense is, you know, after you get past Rowinski, there's not much there, you know. So I think that's going to be a big question mark. I think the goaltending is solid. I think that they, you know, have two very solid goaltenders in Korpisalo and Merzlikens. But again, you know, it's going to come down to having a good defense in front of those goaltenders to make the difference, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, losing David Savard and losing Seth Jones, that's going to be – those are big skates to fill right there.
Yes, they are. They are absolutely, absolutely.
And already, I mean, they were really dependent on the team system. I mean, that's one of the things. I mean, hate or love Tortorella, if there's one thing that he can do is really have a solid team system, and that helped them out a lot. So I think they're in for a pretty tough season.
Well, speaking of tough seasons, we've talked about your Montreal Canadiens. I feel like the Pittsburgh Penguins are, well, I think that they're falling into the trap of some other Pittsburgh franchises. And what I mean by that is that, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers have been relying on Ben Roethlisberger now for quite a while and yet has not drafted a future quarterback. Somebody that can wait a season or two and be ready to take over the reins. And I feel like the Penguins are falling into that slot right about now. Crosby's out, obviously, for a few weeks with an injury. Malkin's out for several months with a knee injury.
And I think that's the same knee that's been bothering him for a couple of years now, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. It is, yeah. Luke. And so the question I have is that I still feel that the Penguins will be in the mix. You know, they might, I think they'll make the playoffs. I don't think they go far in the playoffs unless something radically changes. But I think it's time for the Pens front office to start looking down the pipeline and seeing whom can we draft to be able to replace Sid and or Malkin.
Yeah, and I think they came really, really close to trading Christopher Letang last season. Or the rumor was that what was his name there? The GM that was there.
Jim Rutherford?
Yeah,
Ron Hextall's the new one, but JR was the previous one. Yes.
Exactly. And he left partly because he wasn't allowed to do what he wanted to do freely or you know, have enough freedom to make those types of decisions. And eventually, I mean, you've given up so many draft picks and decent young players to go get some extra help to try to go deeper in the playoffs that eventually, I mean, you're not going to have anything interesting coming up behind and trying to replace some of those players. So the idea was, I think, to try to break up the core. And, you know, I'm sure Christopher Letang is a beloved player over there, no doubt about it, still a solid defenseman in the league, but that would probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that would probably go a lot better with the fans if you trade away that guy than trying to trade away either Crosby or Malkin.
Absolutely. If Letang left, I think you would have more understanding from the Pens faithful if it was Crosby or Malkin. I mean, there would be rioting in the streets probably in Pittsburgh. And, you know, you talk about odd moves. That was the thing with Brandon Tanev that I was so perplexed by. You know, you left him unprotected. You signed him to an extension the season before, I believe. He arguably was probably one of the better players in the playoffs, and I just scratched my head on that and said, well, okay. I mean, granted, he's going to West Coast team. We're not going to see him that much, but what the heck, man?
Yeah, no, he's one of those guys that I like because he gives it all shift after shift.
Yep, agreed.
And I mean – not saying that, you know, most players don't do that, but when you have a guy who does it as obviously as he does, usually you try to keep him around. I mean, just for you know, the sake of the team's culture and, like, work ethic. It's like, you know, look at this guy go. This is what I want you to do. See the kids over there? Hey, come on, kids. Now, this is what you want to do. This is how we want you to play. So, yeah, that was one. And, I mean, the way they have the draft format, eventually you end up having stuff like that where you're like, I'm sure they wanted to keep him, but, you know, probably because of contracts otherwise where they actually had to protect certain players and then they have to leave a guy like that open.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about one final topic real quick. And you're going to help me out on here because I believe that probably when we're talking about broadcasts of games, it might be a little bit different in Canada than it is in the United States. But this is no longer the era of NBC. It is now looking at ABC, ESPN, TNT, and TBS. Here in America, the four outlets for the NHL. What are things like in Canada in terms of, I assume that TSN is still carrying a large chunk of games?
No, they're not actually.
Really?
Yeah, I know. A few years ago, Sportsnet bought out the contract. And now if there are games on TSN, they're probably like subcontracted games where they can't show them, or they don't just have enough room on their Sportsnet TV stations. But otherwise, they picked up the bulk of it. And for the French broadcasting rights, it's a station called TVA Sport that picked up most of them. And with that, RDS, which is the French-Canadian version of TSN, they were able to sign most of the games the Habs play. So they got all the week games. Actually, TVA Sport kept all the Saturday night games and the playoffs. And the other station gets the rest. So that's sort of like how it's split. But it's basically two major TV stations that have it, and they still have it for a couple of years now.
Okay.
I think so. At least 2 or 3 years. Yeah.
Okay. So then the rest of those games that aren't covered by those two, you would be able to go to ESPN or TNT or TBS or whatnot to catch the other games, correct?
Yeah, probably. Okay. Yeah.
I think the thing that, and we talked off air, that I'm a little bit perplexed by is here in the States, they're pitching this idea of ESPN Plus, which is the streaming service, as a replacement for the old NHL.tv, which I've had for many, many years. But there hasn't been a real clear indication as to what you're getting if you sign up for the NHL on ESPN Plus, which is frustrating as a consumer because I'd like to know exactly what am I getting.
Yeah, I mean, the frustration I had last year is that, you know, because they're in Canada, Sportsnet has a tendency to try to follow Canadian teams, which eventually sort of becomes an issue when you're only seeing seven teams play throughout the whole freaking season. You know, eventually I want to see what the Tampa Bay Lightning are up to. I want to see, you know, what the Colorado Avalanche are doing. So it was really hard in that respect. So, you know, that's one of those things where, are you going to be limited with your IP address? You know, are you going to be stuck with that? So because you live in that area, well, we're going to show you these games and not those games. And yeah, no, I agree. I mean, eventually it's like, this seems nice, but yeah, what am I going to be able to watch?
Exactly. And just as a side note, the other night on TNT, they had a preseason game on. It was Boston and Philly. And for a few minutes, I'm like, you know what? What the heck? Let's check it out. And they did admit and they did apologize. There were some technical issues with the video feed. But the thing that I found very, very funny was that our commentators were Kenny Albert, Keith Jones, and Eddie Olchek. I'm like, so it's basically NBCSN on TNT. it's the same crew.
they have to get a job somewhere.
Oh, I guess you're right. You're right. I guess you're right on that. But I was like, huh, okay.
And they lost one of their good ones there. Pierre Maguire is now part of the Ottawa Senators.
Yes.
So he's gone back to the NHL.
Where will I find out about players in their junior careers or their high school coaches, Luke? If Pierre's not there to tell me, how will I know?
I mean, how the hell that guy remembers everything and memorizes all of that and just like, and I mean, it's like, it just seems like every league, I remember when they were thinking about, are we going to call up Cole Caulfield, at least to play in the American League and everything. And it's like, it just seems like he's watched every NCAA hockey game there was to like ever, plus all the freaking NHL games, plus it's like that guy doesn't sleep. I mean, that's what I figured. He just constantly watches hockey and then talks about it, and he watches junior, he watches NCAA, he watches everything. It's just like, how can you have such a background on every player that somebody's going to bring up, even if it's just a kid that, yeah, okay, he's lining it up in the NCAA, but, you know, we don't know all that much about him. No, Pierre knows everything about him.
He's a robot. That's what we don't know. He's actually a cyborg. So,
oh, he has to. And he's been he's been around for quite a while. I think he coached in Pittsburgh with Scotty Bowman.
Yes, he did. So, and he was, I believe he was a coach of the Whalers for a while, too.
I think so. Yeah. So, he's been around for a while. And it's just like, he never seems to just stay stuck and like, you know what? I just do the NHL. Like, no, I want to know everything. I want to know everything from everybody. That kid who only played two games like 12 years ago and then gets another chance. I want everything.
Yes, I need the entire history of the Central Hockey League's Tulsa Oilers, please.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Luke, let's talk a little bit here as we're going to wrap things up about you. Have a podcast. We'd like to highlight it real quick. Did you guys take the summer off, or have you still been putting out episodes?
No, I guess we might be partly to blame for the Habs losing in the final because we stopped like a week before. Because we figured, you know, it's got to be us. It's our first year doing the podcast, and they go almost all the way. So, it's a podcast. It's called Let's Wasn't Bad. It's in French. It's a reference to the third defensive pairing, which shows you how much we take ourselves seriously. And the plan is this year we're going to switch it up a bit. We're going to have episodes every 2 weeks out just to have what we want to try to do is try not necessarily to talk about the latest that's happened, but maybe follow stories week in, week out where, a lot of the times in media, you'll see stuff where something happens and they'll talk about it for a day, maybe 2 days, depending on when the next game is. And then you don't hear about it anymore. But it's still affecting the team. It's still affecting how they play and stuff like that. So we want to try to sort of get that angle of it. Just talk about stuff a bit more in depth than just like what's going on the ice.
Okay, so where can folks find? And I'm going to try it. I told you last time that we talked, I'm going to learn to say the name. All right, so it's Le Troisième Pair.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
All right. Yes. Yeah.
We're even making it simpler for marketing purposes. What we're going to be using on Instagram is stuff just like L3P. That's it. So,
well, you know what? I'm proud of myself. Darn it! I'm not lying. I've been practicing.
You got to keep it up there. Yeah, you got to work it. It's good. Okay.
All right. I'll keep on working. Thanks to Duolingo. That's a great app to brush up on French. Anyways. Where can folks find the podcast, by the way, Luke?
As you mentioned, it's in French, but you can find it pretty much anywhere. I'm not the one who does these spots usually, but I mean, it's on Apple Podcast. We have it on Amazon. We have it on Google. You can follow us on Instagram as well. Let's Was Empire at whatever. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. So we're pretty much, we're easy enough to find.
There you go. So, Luke, thanks very much for taking some time out of your busy schedule. Sit down and talk some hockey with me. I appreciate it, man.
My pleasure. And all of this, and we didn't even talk about the sex scandal in Chicago. So whatever comes of that, I mean, that's going to have a big impact throughout the NHL, not just in Chicago. So.
Yeah. And again, you know, that shows, again, just how absolutely bonkers things were.
Yeah. And at the same time, you can understand how, I mean, we'll wrap it up there, but how, you know, a player like Robin Leonard can just be tired enough and pissed off enough to start saying stuff like he did this week with all of those drugs. So, I mean, it's this kind of stuff that they always keep like under the rug, and we're not going to talk about it, but everybody knows about it. I mean, players are going to get tired of it, and they should. I mean, it's wrong. So
yeah, agreed. All right, Luke. Thanks again, man. I appreciate it, and we'll definitely be talking probably around playoff time.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Which is going to be a long time from now this year.
Yes, I know. It's not going to be
full season plus the Olympics.
Yeah. Strap in. We got spoiled last year with a shortened schedule.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Luke Landry talking about the upcoming NHL season. And I hope that you enjoyed our discussion. And there's a couple different ways you can let me know if you enjoyed it or even if you didn't enjoy it. Well, first off, you can shoot me an email. My email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. You can even leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds for the podcast. Just search for @pvdcast. And if you do me a favor, you know somebody that might enjoy an episode or two of the PVD cast, tell them where they can find it. Obviously, pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, is probably the easiest place to go, but it's also available through all of those podcasting platforms, you know, like iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you know, all the big names. Simply just go to your favorite podcasting app, open up the search bar, put PVD cast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should be able to find it. And if you do check out an episode of the PVD cast, please, please rate and review. Leave a 5-star rating if you really like the episode. Put something in the comments. You know, you don't have to type a big giant paragraph, just a couple of words. That'll be it, like great show or whatever. Please help me out. It really does make a difference. Rate, review. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. And I would greatly, greatly appreciate all the support. Hey, don't forget that on Mondays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a Facebook broadcast of this week's episode as well. So there's another way that you can check out the PVD cast. Just go to the Facebook page. Once again, that's @PVDcast. Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Sign up for the alert so you never miss an episode. And you can catch the PVD cast that way as well. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. Thank you once again for checking out the episode. And with that, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.